The fight for parental school choice has won the Salcedo Show has been undertaking for many moons. And I got to tell you, folks, I think we have turned a corner on this. And I guess I should start at the beginning as to why I've been battling so hard for school choice. And it is, well, nothing short of the failure of GovEd. GovEd, like any other government agency, exists to perpetuate itself. And it doesn't exist to fulfill the mission it was founded to fulfill. To the point to where people, in an honest moment, who are advocates of GovEd, will tell you that even if it falls short of its mission of educating children, it is still vitally important we keep GovEd. And what they won't tell you is the reason why is because it's a very effective way to grease the palms of many connected individuals in our society. It's also a way to keep adults employed. They look at it as an adult jobs program. Whether it's successful at what it does or it's supposed to do, that's just kind of immaterial, beside the point. And here's another reason why I became such a staunch advocate for school choice, parental school choice. When I would ask the other side, can you give me a compelling reason, a good reason, why parents don't deserve the power of the purse to decide how to best educate their own children? There was never a good response. Because I, as a parent, I, as an American, know and understand the people who are best qualified to make decisions for children are their parents, not the state. And I'm seeing a growing number of people in the state who are trying to usurp, not only usurp parental authority, but become a permanent division, a wedge in between children and their parents, making the children servants of the state in an effort to rein in their parents if they don't think the right way. With this pronoun BS, this LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism BS, the teaching of the Hate Whitey program, critical race theory, it's all designed to put a wedge between loving and caring parents and their children to build the next generation of goose steppers who march the tune of apparatchiks in government. And it ought not stand. And I've got to tell you, one of the driving forces in Texas to have the state of Texas join the ranks of the other civilized states that allow parental school choice is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and Governor Greg Abbott. Mr. Abbott writes the Texas scorecard. Abbott endorses universal school choice through education savings accounts. Parents deserve the freedom to choose the education that is best for their child. Very, very strong stance. Giving his strongest affirmation of universal school choice yet, Governor Greg Abbott has endorsed education savings accounts for all Texans. It is time for education freedom in Texas, said Abbott at an Annapolis Christian Academy in Corpus Christi. Speaking at the school's Parent Empowerment Night earlier this week, Abbott endorsed education savings accounts. He said ESAs are the solution to widespread dissatisfaction with government-run schools and the demand for alternatives that all families can access and should be available regardless of their financial situation or where they live. Well, amen. ESAs are individual state-funded accounts that families can use to pay for education expenses. To date, 11 states have authorized education savings accounts programs, the majority having done so in the past 2 years. While most ESA programs have some eligibility restrictions, those in Arizona, West Virginia, and Iowa are available to all students. State Senator Mays Middleton has filed legislation that would create an ESA program in Texas. If passed into law, Senate Bill 176 would require the state to fund the account of each child enrolled in the program with an amount equal to the average annual cost incurred per student by Texas government-run schools, right around $10,000. How about that? As a result of this, folks, from the Texan.news, State Board of Education reverses course on opposing parental school choice measures. The decision represents a reversal from the state board's previous opposition to school choice measures last year. a final vote to strike the State Board of Education. They see the writing on the wall, by the way, folks. A final vote to strike the State Board of Education legislative priority on school vouchers and education savings accounts took place on February 3rd. The SBOE on Friday voted 8-5 to remove efforts to reject school vouchers or education savings accounts from its legislative recommendations. They see the writing on the wall. They see that individuals who are in elected office will no longer be able to put parents second in this discussion. And so the SBOE, the State Board of Education, such as it is, decided to reverse course and drop its opposition. And it is thanks to the leadership of Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and those in the Senate and a couple of boll weevils in the Texas House. So the Salcedo Storm podcast, along with our guest, is going to expand on this conversation next.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
Let me bring in Randon Steinhauser. She's a nationally recognized education reform advocate who worked in more than 30 states to expand school choice. She currently serves as the National School Choice Director for Young Americans for Liberty. Randon, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What are the most egregious abuses of our children at the hands of GovEd that you and your organization have uncovered?
Well, first and foremost, we want to make it clear that the ultimate authority in a child's education and the first educator should always be the parent. And right now we see a wedge being driven between the family unit, between the parent and the child. They're breaking down trust between families. They are teaching children things that go completely against the moral values of the family. And more than anything, our children are not even learning the basics, right? And so they're failing to deliver the products that have been promised through this government-funded system, and no longer is it acceptable. We see parents pushing back, and we know that, look, school safety is an issue, bullying, cyberbullying, and all of these things combined, whether it's the woke curriculum, the cultural Marxism, or just the fact that parents want to spend more time with their children. All of these factors combined are leading towards a very strong push for parental choice in education.
We had a guest on, a parent from a California school district, if memory serves, and this school district's counselor, she originally sent her 11-year-old daughter to the counselor because she was having a hard time dealing with the death of her grandfather. And through the course of these counseling sessions, this counselor convinced her 11-year-old daughter, or tried to, that she was a boy and that she needed to go through sex transition surgery, and they would keep the transition from girl to boy a secret from the parents. Is this part of the wedge you were describing?
Absolutely. And it's pure evil. It's manipulation of young, vulnerable children, and they seek out these weaknesses in these children. And you know, again, when you're sending your child somewhere 5 days a week for 6 or 7 hours a day, you are inherently putting your trust in whomever it is that's caring for your child, the system that you're putting your child into. That trust has been completely eroded. And we need to recognize that parents need to have more accountability and more transparency from our government schools. And the ultimate accountability is for parents to have educational freedom, and I would argue in the form of an education savings account, because you need to be able to hire, and if it's not working, fire every single person who's coming in contact with your child. You have that right. And right now, that right is being eroded by our government schools.
Well, you're right. And well, actually, and by politicians. And that's what I want to, I'm not sure how familiar you are with what's happening here in Texas, but this is one of the rare cases where basically universally every Democrat says government, 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 and includes government-run education. But in some minority districts, a guy by the name of Harold Dutton is a Democrat who puts the education of children, in this case minority children, above the adult jobs program. And there are Republicans here in the state of Texas who looked at the camera during the last election and said, you know what, I don't care. I am never going to give you school choice. It's government's job to educate your children. I give a damn what you parents say. There are kids, not your kids. And these sad excuses for Republicans are part of the problem, the genesis of our problem here in the state of Texas. What do you tell parents? How do they combat these types of politicians who look at GovEd as an adult jobs program and they're willing to sacrifice the safety and the future of children to maintain this failing status quo?
Well, first of all, thank you, Chris. I am very familiar with what's happening in Texas. I live in Central Texas. I'm a mother of four. I've been heavily involved in the school choice debate here in Texas for over 10 years now. And, you know, Harold Dutton is a champion for kids. He's time after time has put his political capital aside and said, look, we need to fix this. This is not right. So I appreciate you giving him kudos. You know, there are far too many so-called Republicans in the Texas House who year after year have been the holdup on parents in Texas having the same educational freedom that we're now seeing sweep the country. It's all of a sudden very politically popular, if you will, for conservative leaders to support educational freedom. Hey, if that's what it takes for someone to look at the poll numbers and say, hey, okay, sure, I'll do this, then whatever it takes. But ultimately, I'm going to tell you, the champion on this issue has been Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Year after year, he has pushed for this, and it's not gotten done. So finally, we're seeing Governor Greg Abbott come out stronger than ever. But will it be enough? Will our liberal Republicans in the House actually appoint Republican committee members and committee chairs so that this bill can have a hearing? I'm not sure. And these are the same Republicans that were elected by the teachers unions, by the school board, and they're the same Republicans that their campaigns are funded by the Raise Your Hand Texas Teachers Union Special Interest Groups. So for as long as those folks have the funding coming from the government-funded schools, they're going to be beholden to that behemoth of an antiquated system.
You know, and by the way, folks, we are having a conversation with Randen Steinhauser. She's a national education reform advocate working in 30 states to expand school choice. It strikes me that when you say, I would love to have parental school choice, and the teachers unions and the teachers interests and the special interest groups and the wayward Republicans and the socialist Democrats, they all say, our schools are fantastic. Our schools are great. You don't deserve school choice. And it's a tacit admission in my mind, anyway, on their part. They know if parents were given a choice, they would yank their children out of these underperforming, lackluster, idiotic, moronic, non-educational school districts. It would make people's heads spin. So they're admitting they suck, and they know they suck. So their only solution is to force us to stay in this crappy system. I'm not exaggerating that, am I?
No, that's the greatest argument for school choice. You know, when people on the opposite side of me on this issue say, well, if we have school choice in Texas, our government schools are going to shut down. Well, you just made the case. Yep. Because you're telling me that when parents have an option, they're going to choose to go somewhere different. And when is the last time that a failing government school has closed its doors? It doesn't happen. If you have a private school, which is not serving its students well or not producing academic outcomes or healthy, happy children, guess what? Those parents, those customers, they're going to go somewhere else. If you're stuck in a failing government school, you cannot go somewhere else. And we know that it's far too long for this to happen. It's been, like I said, I've been working on this in Texas for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago, you know, an 8-year-old child, that's mama, was very involved in this, is now 18. We have left them behind. We are leaving children behind, and we're leaving parents stuck feeling like they have nowhere else to go. So, yeah, you know, the number one way we want to see this happen again is through an education savings account. And I'd love to talk a little bit about what that means and how we want to see that enacted here in Texas.
Sure. And we can get the nuts and bolts. And give me the number, if you can. The last time I've been seeing anywhere between 23 and 31 states have joined the civilized world and agreed to parental school choice in some form. Iowa is the most recent enlightened state. It is sad to me that the state of Texas is among the knuckle-dragging Neanderthal backward states that isn't enlightened on this. So tell me, because I've heard varying degrees of how we would offer school choice through vouchers. That's working in some states, or through this savings account that you're making reference to. Walk us through how that would work.
Sure. Yeah, well, actually, the latest in the last 48 hours is signed into law in Utah. So now Utah, in addition to Iowa, has a universal school choice program. Again, Texas is way behind here. There are over 30 states that have some form of private school choice, meaning that there are some taxpayer dollars that can be used on an education that the parents choose outside of the traditional government-run system. Now, what we're pushing for and what we're seeing take, take like wildfire across the country is that education savings account. It's different than a voucher, and here's why. An education savings account allows those taxpayer dollars that belong, again, to the taxpayer, to the parents, their tax dollars into an account very similar to a health savings account. Those education savings account dollars can be used on a variety of expenses, things like private school tuition, virtual school, homeschool curriculum, tutoring, therapy, or a combination of all of those things. So you as the parent can decide, hey, you know what? My kid is really struggling in math. In addition to our private school tuition, I'm going to use a little bit of our education funding to make sure we're just getting some support where we need it through a tutoring services.
All right, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there because I think this is a key point that I think I want folks to understand. So right now, those of you outside of Texas, our property taxes are assessed, and a certain segment of them are assessed by these independent school districts, and they assess a lot, by the way. So what I'm hearing you say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that right now, as I pay my property taxes to the school district, they set a rate, and I got to pay them whether I want to or not, whether my child is in GovEd or not. That money, instead of going to GovEd, will go into a savings account that is set up for the taxpayer in that account, correct?
Well, here's the tricky part, Chris.
Yeah.
So, you know, there part of the debate here is that local tax dollars, the opposition here, and some of the folks who are supportive of this effort are saying local tax dollars will stay local. So really what we're looking at are the state maintenance and operation numbers, what the state allocates each year, about $8,500 per student. So that's not including those local dollars. So in this case, you could say, again, that local school would still be getting those local tax dollars to educate a child that's not in their classroom. So that's one of those concession points. We can debate it, whether it's right or wrong. But in this case, what we've seen in the past, at least, is that in Texas, we have traditionally talked about just those state allocated funds, which, again, is not insignificant.
No.
They're still taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, I understand. And again, for those who would have the argument that, well, my kids are not in school, why am I forced to pay for a service that for kids who are not in school? And I would say, look, we're making an invest. We all agree we have to invest in the future. It benefits the entirety of the country. What the debate is who's in charge of that money. And government has already proven, at least to my satisfaction, Randon, that government is incapable of properly administering that money and that responsibility because this is something else I want you to focus on, because the state legislature has said, we're gonna lift money out of your pocket, and then we're not gonna do anything to police where it's going or police these school districts, A, because we don't want to. We're lazy and we don't want to. B, we don't have the resources to do it. So that's another argument for, hey, the parents are already there. They're already committed. They're already on the ground and they're already incentivized to police what their children are being taught. You have a built-in police force. It's called parents, and they are interested in protecting their children by and large. So let's relieve the state of that responsibility, which they're abdicating anyway, which they're not doing a damn thing about anyway, and put the power where it belongs. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the important things to remember here is year after year, what do we hear from the, you know, superintendent, government school lobby, is we need more money. Well, the question I have for them then is, why do we have superintendents in Texas making over $400,000 a
Thank
year?
Thank you.
The average superintendent makes over $180,000 a year, including in very small rural districts.
Yep.
We have an administrative bloat situation of three to 4 administrative staff per 1 teacher. The money is not going into the classroom. If it were, I think we'd see a lot different outcomes. We'd see higher teacher salaries. You know, and so the idea that somehow this is taking money from public education, really ask yourself, what is public education? It's a job security program. It's no longer educating our public. We need to decouple government-funded education with government-run education.
It
is. Put the power in the hands of the parents. They know their children better than anyone.
It's not even public education anymore. We call it government education because that's what it is. It's a government program. It exists. Your child is just a number to these people, a butt in the seat so they can get paid. And that's all they're worth. So it has ceased to become public education because the public no longer has any input in how these things are run, these school districts are run. Let me ask you to comment on a couple of stories that are from the past and from the present. By the way, Randon Steinhauser is our guest, national education reform advocate, who's working for school choice in over 30 states, including the great state of Texas. One of the past stories has been with government education, like in Loudoun County, Virginia, where they had a young man who identified as a trans person, and his mom later admitted in court that the reason he did it is so he could get access to girls. And this government education system bent over backwards. He raped a little girl in a locker room. And then instead of admitting that they were wrong and that they failed to protect children, they transferred the young man to another school where he did it again, showing that they were more concerned with their payday and more concerned with protecting this institution of GovEd, which is a failure, than protecting children. Then we come back to Texas in Prosper ISD, where the school board there, the leftists in the school board, just voted a vote of confidence for their school board president right before he was arrested for indecency with a child. Parents, when these things happen inside of GovEd, parents should have the ability to take their kids out of harm's way when these school districts fail. But right now, under the current system, they don't. Can you comment on the safety of our children? Because GovEd is obviously not up to the task.
Yeah, you know, right here in Texas, the Texas Association of School Boards is beyond liberal, beyond cultural Marxism to the worst degree. They recently enacted a vote of confidence in our government schools and allowing them to allow children to choose their gender without parent notification of changing a gender.
Wow.
They've decided to allow gender-neutral bathrooms on campuses. And further, they've allowed students to be able to access curriculum that parents perhaps wouldn't support if they were able to read it themselves. The Texas Association of School Boards is by and far responsible for pushing cultural Marxism into our classrooms through a variety of different gender and race theories. It's very important for families to know that the government school of yesterday, the one that, you know, you grew up with in your generation, is not what we are seeing today. It is a social justice, 2 + 2 = 4. How does that make you feel? Okay? That is what kids are being taught, is these things that go completely against the traditional values of what has made America great. And so there is a big concern in what we're seeing taught in our classrooms, or perhaps even more what we're not seeing. And I think parents should really, you know, and they have. Let me give credit to our parents. They have opened up their eyes. Since COVID, really, they saw firsthand what was being taught to their children, and it's just gotten worse. You know, the liberal leftist progressives in the government-run school keep giving us more and more reason to pull our children out of this government system. And parents really have taken it upon themselves to start pushing for school choice in a way that 5 or 6 years ago I wasn't seeing. Now it's much more organic in the sense of we've got to have another option.
Amen. And again, this system, the government education system, when it fails, they take the mindset you should have no option whatsoever to do anything about it. Your kids must remain victims so we can keep our power. And parents are fundamentally disagreeing. I think you're right. The China virus did do an awful lot to open the eyes of parents that things are not okay inside of GovEd. It's not the school system you grew up in. It is made up of a bunch of deviancy that is, and by the way, I've got to say this too. Guys like Joe Biden don't get elected if GovEd is doing its job. Nobody in their right mind votes for Joe Biden. And the reason why we're graduating generations of people who say, hey, Marxism is fun and socialism is great, is because of the failure of GovEd, and our country's paying a price for it. Worst mistake, Randon, we ever made was allowing the government to educate our children. Last question I have for you. If any politician, notice I'm not specifying party, if any politician stands in the way of parental school choice, should they be in elected office?
Absolutely not. If you don't believe that the parent deserves the freedom, that we have an inherent freedom to choose the best education for our child, then you are not fit to serve. If you are beholden to the special interest teachers' unions, no matter what state you are in, but especially here in Texas, home of the free, one of the freest states in the country, it is beyond time that our elected officials recognize to remove government-funded from government-run and empower parents in Texas with an education savings account.
Amen to that. Folks, support children, not systems, not failed systems. And this GovEd system is failed. Randon, if folks want to get in touch with you, where can they go to throw their support and maybe get organized and help you put pressure on these so-called Republicans who put GovEd ahead of children?
Yeah, Young Americans for Liberty is the nation's largest youth liberty organization. We've got chapters right here in Texas, yaliberty.org. We've got door knocking happening. We have members of the Hazlitt Coalition, our liberty-minded legislators who are pushing for this type of reforms at the state level. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have your support and join us at Young Americans for Liberty. That's yaliberty.org.
yaliberty.org. Randon Steinhauser, I appreciate your efforts, and thanks for being here on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Thanks so much.